Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. With around 7,000 living languages in the world, it hardly seems like there would be a need to invent more, but that's just what David Peterson does, and you might be familiar with some of the languages he's invented.
So what's all nakal vosechi? Sani sofri vekayom.
So vos sol adodahari anni.
Vos sofro reshi.
That's the Dothraki language being spoken on HBO's Game of Thrones. David Peterson is the co-founder of the Language Creation Society, a nonprofit that promotes the art, craft, and science of language creation, and the creator of both the Dothraki and Valyrian languages for HBO's Game of Thrones, and the Dark Elves language for the 2013 Marvel film Thor, the Dark World, other fictional languages as well. He'll be speaking Monday, February 12th at Iowa State University in the Great Hall of the Memorial Union at 8 p.m., and he is with me now. Hello, David.
Hello, how's it going?
Great. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah, no problem.
Now, as a linguist, you have studied dozens of different languages. When did you first start thinking about inventing your own language?
I actually started inventing my own language in my first linguistics class. That was the first time that it occurred to me that I might create my own language for fun. I was familiar with a couple of created languages, but only those that had been created for international communication, like Esperanto or Novial or Occidental. In taking linguistics, my first linguistics course, we were looking at so many different languages and so many different morphological phenomena that I just got this idea that it would be fun to play around with some of these systems on my own to create something of my own, but rather than for a national communication, just to do it for fun. And so I started pretty much immediately and kept up with linguistics as a major and basically changed the course of my life. I was an English major before that.
Oh, wow. So were there other examples of fictional languages that you were familiar with at that point?
No, I was totally unfamiliar. I had no idea that anybody had ever created a language before just for fun or for fiction or anything. I knew who Tolkien was, and I was a fan of a couple of the Star Trek series, but I guess I was just simply unaware that there were languages that had been created for them. I don't know why.
What point did you suddenly think, hey, I could do this for a fictional reason? I could insert this language into a fantasy land. When did that click for you?
It's honestly something that never really interested me early on. When I first started creating my first language, the goal was actually to use it amongst me and a friend. When I met other language creators online, I discovered that lots of them were creating languages for fictional purposes. And I don't know, it didn't really strike me as something that I would enjoy. On the other hand, as I kept up with it, I realized that unless I'm going to be creating a language that I'm going to use in our world, like in the real world, then I'm automatically inventing a culture for this language in my head. Simply because the moment you create a word, it assumes so much about the world where this language is spoken. It's like if you create a word for book, it assumes that whoever speaks this language has the concept of a book, has a writing system, has a history of literature, has a publishing industry, has binding and binding practices. And furthermore, if you don't specify exactly how the book looks, you're going to be assuming how it looks, that it's probably going to look like our books, but our books are not the way that all books have to look. So I discovered that by not inventing a culture specifically, I was doing it unconsciously and was basically just unconsciously replicating whatever it was from my own culture. which is pretty lazy, artistically speaking.
What was the first language that you invented for someone else as part of a fictional world or part of a project for someone?
I mean, I guess the major one was Dothraki for Game of Thrones, but honestly, the first one happened fairly early on. I think it was in the summer of 2001. I ended up doing what we would later come to know as spam with people on America Online, and I emailed them like 40 random people based on things I saw in their profiles, a message suggesting that I could create a language for them for money. And one person responded, a guy from Oklahoma who was hoping to have a language for his D&D campaign. So that was technically the first language I was ever paid to create. It wasn't really a full language. It was more of a system that then he could build on later. And I charged him $40.
To invent a language.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, let's talk about Dothraki. First of all, how did you get that job? How were you given this charge?
The Dothraki job was actually a competition that was announced to the language creation community online. Almost everybody who created languages that was connected to some sort of language creation community heard about the job. Nevertheless, there were lots that didn't take it seriously because they weren't allowed to announce any details about the job, just that it was for a television show. They couldn't say the network. They couldn't say the name of the show. They couldn't describe the plot. They couldn't do anything like that. It was all under wraps. So there were a lot of people that applied. There were a lot of people who didn't take it seriously. There were about 40 people who applied initially. The application process was pretty rigorous, though, so I think there were only about 30 that turned in an application for the first round of judging, and then that round was judged by other language creators. That pool was winnowed down to 5, 4 finalists and an alternate. The alternate dropped out, and so then the 4 of us revised our applications and put together a final proposal that was sent to Dave and Dan, the producers, David Benioff and Dan Weiss. And then of those 4, they selected mine. And then that's how I started working on the show.
Well, you were just talking earlier about how when you are inventing a language, if you don't have a concept of the culture that this language is part of, then you're just basically using the culture that you know. So not having all those details, how much were you able to create of Dothraki before, I mean, to enter into the competition?
Oh, sorry. That's a good question. I left out something. So when you said that you were going to apply for the competition, then you signed an NDA, and then you found out what it was. But you couldn't do that without signing the NDA. So all of those of us who actually applied, we did know, in fact, that it was going to be an adaptation of George R. R. Martin's work. I hadn't read the books, though, so kind of had to zip through the first 4. My wife helped me with that because
that's a lot of reading.
Yeah. I went through, she went through for me and tagged all the Daenerys chapters, which I went through and looked through for vocabulary. Somebody else actually collected all of the Dothraki vocabulary that was in the first 3 books, so we had those to build on. But the chapters themselves were very helpful when it came to deciding what the culture would be like, or basically investigating it. I used those as source material to figure out what an average, day for a Dothraki person would be like, and I used that to flesh out the lexicon.
So we played a little clip with the Dothraki language being spoken earlier, and the exchange is between a native Dothraki speaker and then someone who's learning Dothraki or has learned it later on in life. And if you listen, I mean, you can hear the difference between the way that they speak. So not only are you creating a language, but are you responsible for that as well, for creating really this different way of using the language?
Yeah, and it's both pronunciation and grammar. I think at that point in time in the season, we through the fantasy and magic of television, said that Daenerys was pretty competent when it came to the grammar of Dothraki, but her pronunciation is still off. In the beginning of the of that season, her grammar is off quite a bit as well, as she's learning. But it was kind of a two-pronged thing there. One is that I described, just kind of wrote a little paper about how an English speaker would pronounce Dothraki if they were just learning it for the first time. But then also it was how I recorded it. So I record all the lines on MP3. So when I recorded Jason Momoa's lines, they were, 100% full authentic Dothraki. When I was recording lines for Emilia Clarke in Dothraki, I would more or less do them the way an English-speaking learner of the language would pronounce them. And so they could just hear the way I was pronouncing it, even if the way I was pronouncing it was, intentionally incorrectly, and they would be able to copy that. I really, really liked how Emilia did that, because you're right. If you're paying attention, you can hear that there's a big difference between the way they speak it. And Emilia sounds a little bit more like, somebody who's getting her footing, but also does the thing. And I really love this as I was listening to it just now, where often if you're learning the language, you'll fasten on to one of the sounds that's hard and you'll work on that one a lot. So if you listen to her, she pronounces the huh pretty well while ignoring kind of, how the vowels are supposed to be pronounced correctly and things like that. So you're like, no, that one I know, and I'm going to get that right. It's a really well done.
So over time, have you had to expand the language to meet the needs of the show?
Oh, yeah, of course. Not much with Dothraki, because I had a really big cache of vocabulary at the beginning, but certainly for Valyrian. I mean, there are new words every season, but even so, I expand the languages on my own in the off time anyway, just because it's a lot easier to translate if you have the words ahead of time. So I try to create as many words as I can ahead of time. But also, I mean, I still create languages for fun, and these are still my languages. I just work on them all the time just for fun, just because that's what I like to do.
How have fans responded to your languages? I mean, there have been people learning to speak these languages, right?
Yeah, it's a really mixed bag, or it's really varied, I should say. So it's like both Dothraki and Valyrian, I think, have a lot of name recognition. And now there's a book on Dothraki, Living Language Dothraki, that I did with Random House, Penguin Random House. And so people are learning it. But at the same time, I think there's a lot more people that are just kind of casually aware that they exist and maybe know how to say, one or two words here or there, and that's about it. What surprised me is that of all the languages I've created, the language I created for the show, The Hundred, is by far the most popular language I've ever created, and has the biggest following. And of that following, those that are most invested in actually learning the language. The language that I created for The Hundred on the CW is called Trigueta Slang. And it's simply a future evolution of the English language. So all the words and all the grammar come from modern English. And so it's kind of interesting, because as an English speaker, you can kind of understand the language, even though you've never heard it before. As I put it, it's probably the easiest language for an English speaker to learn that has ever been created, because it's so close to modern English. Anyway, and that language of all the ones I've created has been just crazy popular, much more than any of the other languages I've created combined.
What do you learn from the process of creating a language? What can it teach you about how we use language?
There are a lot of language creators who study linguistics, specifically as a major. And all of us have kind of independently come to the same conclusion. Sometimes when you're learning about a linguistic phenomenon that you're unfamiliar with, it can actually help you to create that system and then try it out. like, this is what I would do, actually, in my linguistics courses. You know, we'd learn about something like, for example, ergativity, which is a marking strategy that doesn't really occur in English, but occurs quite heavily in many other languages, like Hindi in the past tense, for example. And it's a really difficult concept to kind of wrap your head around if all you've been speaking in is a language like English. The only languages you've ever studied are languages like Spanish, French, and German, things like that. And so it was kind of hard to figure out. And so what I did was I just, you know, created a little toy system, a little toy ergative system, and then tried to use it. And that really helps you figure out why people would do things, structure them an entirely different way. Because as you're trying to use it and translate stuff, you're grappling with the same problems that other speakers have, you know, by simply engaging with the problem of communication. And it naturally follows, as you try to work with the system, some of the other things that the system entails. And you kind of get a better understanding of it by actually using it and trying to work with it and create it than you do by trying to understand it abstractly.
Or even trying to learn it.
Yeah, and of course trying to learn it, because then you have all this extra baggage in there where it's like you're trying to memorize a bunch of words, you're trying to learn how to pronounce them correctly, you have to deal with a lot of irregularities that may have nothing to do with the specific phenomena you're working with. And so it can help to just kind of create a toy system like this and work through it.
Well, David Peterson, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, sure. Thank you for having me. Happy to do it.
And safe travels to Iowa. Thanks a lot.
Girin vose. That we say thank you in High Valyrian.
All right. Thank you so much.
Sure. No problem.
David Peterson is the co-founder of the Language Creation Society, a nonprofit that promotes the art, craft, and science of language creation. He is also the creator of both the Dothraki and Valyrian languages for HBO's Game of Thrones. He will be speaking Monday, February 12th, at Iowa State University in the Great Hall of the Memorial Union at 8 p.m. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.